Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Monday, December 23rd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Week 16 almost done. I bet you're doing all right if you're listening to this podcast. If you aren't and you're still listening, yo, shout out to you. Happy holidays to you. Happy holidays to everybody. I'm excited for Christmas. Even though we do have two games, I'm excited. I mean, that means I'm working on Christmas, but hey, I'm excited for Christmas. I'm excited to get us there. But before we get there, we have to recap all the action from over the weekend. So that is exactly what I'm going to do. But hey, over at FTNFantasy.com, I'll have you updated all week long. I mean, heck, we've already started. The waiver wire tool is fully updated already. I'm going to add to it like I always do, but I love to get that initial batch out around about noon Eastern on Monday. So that way you can already start looking forward to the next week, the last waiver run of the year. And tomorrow on the podcast, I am going to talk about how do we approach the final game? Because like, for example, your handcuffs, if your running back is healthy, no longer matter. They no longer have any value. So we'll get into that on the podcast tomorrow. But FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's get into the Saturday games first. So Houston and Kansas City. Obviously, Kansas City rolling here. Patrick Mahomes looked fine, honestly. Like, no issues with the ankle whatsoever, which is crazy, but is what it is. Probably the biggest takeaways here, first and foremost, we saw Hollywood Brown out there. He barely played. I mean, it wasn't like he played two snaps or anything like that, but he only ran 14 routes, and he saw 8 targets. So safe to say he's going to be heavily leaned on, and he is going to be a part of waivers this week. We heard from Andy Reid that his role is going to increase. Now, as far as the backfield, great. It's Kareem Hunt now. I don't trust any bit of this backfield going into this week. And yeah, there may end up being somebody who's a good fantasy option, but I don't know if it's Hunt or Pacheco. Like, Pacheco didn't look good in this game. Hunt looked better, but the week before that, I mean, it's kind of been different things each time. And the problem is they're using all four. You know, so Hunt played 32 snaps, Pacheco 23, Samaje Perine 13, and then 6 for Carson Steele. It's a mess, and I don't like that. Do with it what you can. Otherwise, I mean, you don't get every week, you don't get a massive Travis Kelce game. And we are seeing a guy who's approaching the end of his career. He may still play next year. Obviously, that was his plan all along, but he's up there in age now and it's starting to show. Over to the other side, the injury was brutal to Tank Dell. Completely, you know, this game is so unfair, and it happened on a brilliant touchdown, of course. 6 for 98 and a score for him. There isn't anybody who's going to replace him. I'm not running out and picking up Robert Woods for the championship week. If it was week two, yeah, it's a different story. We have to figure it out from there. But we have 1 week. Nobody's starting Robert Woods this week. You know, nobody's starting Xavier Hutchinson. Nico Collins is going to be a big beneficiary. The other player who actually may benefit and people may start is Dalton Schultz. So he's going to be a part of the waiver wire for this week. And something interesting about Joe Mixon. So this was a tough matchup. I don't want to sell that short. But he obviously has faded over the course of the season. I brought this up on my SiriusXM show. Might be something to consider just writing down for the future. If you have an older running back who performs well in the earlier part of the season, might be worth trading that player. Like October trade, if you had Joe Mixon and you traded him away then, you timed it perfectly. Now, the challenge is you're never going to know if that ends up being a good or a bad move, but the chances of an older player fading down the stretch are a lot greater than the chances of a younger player. So, you know, the challenge psychologically for a lot of fantasy managers, though, is if a player is doing well, they don't want to trade him away. But it might be something to investigate. And I don't even know if it's going to be an effective move, but just seeing Mixon fading down the stretch is what prompted that for me. All right, moving on to Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh needs George Pickens, apparently, to do much of anything. We did see a lot of Jaylen Warren in this game. Outsnapped Najee Harris 40-17, and obviously nearly hit 20 touches. He had 12 carries, only 48 yards, but still, he chips in the passing game 5 for 44, so ends up being a decent enough PPR day. 17 touches for him in total. Not bad. To the other side, Lamar it wasn't great fantasy wise, but he still threw three passing scores, right? He still had a decent enough day. Derrick Henry, 162 on 24 carries, another 150-yard game for him. Pretty incredible there. Both tight ends score because why not? And then Zay Flowers, in closer games, he is going to produce well. 5 for 100, 15 PPR points. I'll take that all day long. Moving on to the Giants and Atlanta. So not much doing on the Giants side. We don't even know who their starter is going to be this week because Drew Locke banged up yet again. Who knows? But the production for neighbors continues to be decent enough. This was a 13.8 PPR day, 7 for 68 on 14 targets. Okay, get him a quarterback next year. Good news, Giants fans. You now are in the driver's seat. You're the number one overall pick. I'll talk about the Raiders in a little bit, but that means if you want Shador, you get Shador. If you want Ward, you get Ward. You have your choice, and you're not trading out of this spot because you need a quarterback. So that at least is good, and hopefully whoever they pair him up with can get neighbors the ball plenty. Tyrone Tracy had a pretty reception, touchdown reception in this one. Over to the other side. So Bijan was awesome, but let's look at Michael Penix Jr. Now, the numbers, 202 and an interception, ran four times for 3 yards. Nothing special. But the play was dramatically better than the numbers. The interception wasn't an interception. It was a completion, basically, to Kyle Pitts, and then he inexplicably just basically threw the ball to a Giants defender. It was pretty wild. And, you know, really, we could have seen one, if not two, passing scores from him. Now, he ultimately didn't throw them, but did he really need to throw them in a game where you win 34-7? No. So let's, before we just box score scout here, look at the play first and foremost, which was solid, and then let's see what he does next week. You know, he's got a very interesting stretch run now, especially because you're the first place team in your division. You face Washington next week. That's a much tougher task. Not that their defense is great, but you're going to have to keep your pedal to the metal with that other guy across the field from you who happened to be drafted a little bit higher than you and is having a great season. And Carolina to round it out. So let's wait and see. It's going to be interesting, no doubt about it. All right, moving on. Let's get to Detroit and Chicago. Everybody ate for the Lions, which gotta love that. We got our answer with no David Montgomery. What do? They feed Jahmyr Gibbs. 23 for 109 and one. And yeah, why not? 4 catches for 45 yards. They used a little bit of Craig Reynolds, a tiny bit of Jamar Jefferson and Sione Vaki, but that was it. Like, no reason, honestly, to be rostering Craig Reynolds anymore. No reason. Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, and the fake fumble play was awesome. Over to the other side. So Caleb Williams, so a lot of people are tossing around that he is a bust. I just don't see that, man. 334 passing yards, 2 passing scores, no interceptions. He is now 326 straight passing attempts without an interception, by far the longest streak of a rookie all time, and really one of the greatest streaks we've seen in recent memory. He is playing great football from that vantage point. It's not perfect by any stretch, though, right? He's got a lot of stuff to improve on, but he also has the uncertainty of not knowing who his head coach or play caller slash offensive coordinator or whoever. Like, sometimes, obviously, your head coach could be the play caller, but he doesn't know who any of that is for next year. But what he is doing is he's putting up numbers. He's already, this season is the 6th most passing yards in the history, single season passing yards in the history of the franchise. And obviously not saying much. They've never had a 4,000 yard passer, but he's not as bad as people are making it out to be. And just think of the situation. Think of the circumstances. Guy has 3,271 passing yards. Like, if all things go perfectly, he could hit 3,800 yards. You know, if all things go perfectly from a touchdown standpoint, he's going to have 23, 24 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. You know, it is really interesting. So, like, comparing those numbers, I actually, on that other pregame show this weekend, I talked to Matt Ryan. I asked him, what advice would you give Caleb Williams coming out of this season? And he gave his spiel. But why I brought it up, Matt Ryan was the top quarterback taken in his class. He was 3rd overall. He was a rookie starter. But granted, his team made it to the postseason. He was the offensive rookie of the year. Let's compare the numbers. I just said Caleb Williams probably around 3,700, 3,800 yards is a nice estimate right there. It's a reasonable estimate. He also, like I said, could be at, you know, say 22. Let's call him 22 because he's got 19 passing scores right now. So 1.5 per game over the next two. Fine. 22. And even if he throws another pick, let's say he's got 6 picks. Okay. 3,700, 22, and 6. Matt Ryan went 3,400, 16, and 11, and was the offensive rookie of the year. You know, our standards are very high now. And I'm not knocking Matt Ryan. He deserved it that year. They made the playoffs. He had an 11, they had 11-5 record in the regular season. But our standards are insanely high. I know the season didn't work out for the Bears, but he has had a heck of a year. And I'm not going to go away from that. Keenan Allen eats against the Lions, apparently, too. All right, Cleveland-Cincinnati, really quick here. Joe Burrow, another game with 3 passing touchdowns. So he's 7 straight with 250-plus yards and 3-plus passing touchdowns. He is the first player in NFL history to do that. Ja'Marr Chase is the, not first, but 5th player to have an NFL season with 100-plus receptions, 1,500-plus receiving yards, and 15-plus receiving touchdowns. The other 4, quite a list. Jerry Rice, okay. Marvin Harrison Sr., okay. Randy Moss, heard of him. And then Cooper Kupp, who also, you know, you think of it right now with what Cooper Kupp has done. Probably, does he get in the Hall of Fame? I would think so. I don't know. That's debatable. Now they say it out loud. But the other guys are in the Hall of Fame. Like, that is quite a list right there. So they're rolling, and you got like a Derek Dilemma game out of Chase Brown. I'm not overly concerned. And it sucks if you get bumped due to these types of games, but this is football and it happens. The other side, it was abundantly clear. Dorian Thompson-Robinson couldn't move the offense. Like I said, he wasn't going to. 2 picks. I mean, he ran okay, 9 for 49. The only bright spot, so Njoku had a good game. Guess what? He's hurt again. So we're going to have to deal with that this week. And Jerome Ford, 11 for 92. Most of it came on one run at the beginning of the game, but that's fine. Not going to take it away from him. Scored a touchdown there. Caught 5 for 39. Good game for him, and that was about it. Moving on, Tennessee and Indianapolis. I mean, I love the Jonathan Taylor touchdown where, you know, each of the touchdowns, he basically holds the ball exaggerated across the goal line. He leaned into the joke. He owned up for it, and he made sure he was scoring those touchdowns. Following a week where he had the devastating drop the football thing, he goes out and scores 3 touchdowns, has, you know, a 200-yard game, 218 rushing yards, one of the best December performances we've seen in recent memory. Okay, you're forgiven, dude. You're forgiven. I'm never going to forgive Kyle Pitts now for what he did in that game, but you're forgiven. Anthony Richardson ended up not being that bad because he did score a rushing touchdown. I mean, he put up 13 points with his legs. That alone, good enough, right? And then 131 plus a passing score. He had a pick, but that's not that bad. So if you rolled the dice on him, I don't think you could be too upset about that. Over to the other side, the backfield stinks. Tony Pollard obviously said he was going to be good. He was not good. So then Tajay Spears scored 2 touchdowns. Yay, that's awesome. Chigakonkwo, 9 for 81 out of left field. He can blow up. I mean, the good news is Mason Rudolph kind of is just going to throw the ball around the yard. He had the three picks, but he's going to throw the ball around the yard. Hey, they're also, by the way, now ahead of the Raiders drafting. And by my watch, I only think there's 2 first-round quarterbacks in this class. So you could be looking at Shedeur Sanders in a Titans uniform. Uh-oh. All right, on to the next game, Rams and Jets. This was a cold weather game. It was a weird game. Like, the Jets scored 9 points and didn't punt once. I don't even know how that's possible. And they didn't have 3 field goals either. Like, this was a bizarro game. Rodgers had the passing score to Davante Adams, another connection between the two of them. Adams has been really good, honestly, since coming to the Jets, and it has helped Rodgers out. But this one, just 256 and 1 for Rodgers. Hopefully you didn't stream him. We didn't have him as a streamer when all was said and done, so hopefully you didn't stream him. Brees back on the board a little bit here, 14 for 52, but he caught 5 for 38, so that ended up being a decent enough PPR day for him. And on the other side, I mean, all it really was Nacua, 8 for 56, and then a whole lot of Kyren Williams. Like I said, like if you have Blake Corum, you don't need him after this week because Kyren Williams is still healthy, so there's no reason to have any of those handcuffs right there. So here's what we got to do. We're going to do a quick one here, get some bills paid, and then when we come back, we will hit up Philly and Washington. And we are back. So Philly and Washington, yeah, that one stunk, right? If you had Jalen Hurts, ends up in concussion protocol very early into the game, barely got going. At least he had the 41 rushing yards, or it would have been completely devastating. He went head first. I hate when quarterbacks go head first. You open yourself up to just too many potential bad things to happen, and a bad thing happened there. Will he play this upcoming week? No idea. Concussions are always going to be like that, so we're going to keep an eye on Thursday's practice report. If he goes limited to start the week, that's even better, but I'd expect DNP, so that second practice report is pivotal. If we get a limited, then we're good. If not, then we're not. You know, that's all we can really do. Now, at least Pickett did throw a touchdown to A.J. Brown. He goes 8 for 97 in a score. Devontae Smith had a crucial drop, 6 for 51. Saquon had a really weird game. It looked like it was going to be massive. He had 109 rushing yards and 2 scores in his first 7 carries. But then from there, he only had 41 rushing yards on 22 carries. Obviously, not having Hurts out there, it did really hurt him. But he still has a shot at the record. Right now, he's on pace for 2,083 rushing yards. That would be third most all-time if he hit that. But obviously, he has his sights on Eric Dickerson. On the other side, Jaden Daniels had 5 passing touchdowns. Now, he wasn't perfect in this game, threw 2 interceptions. But for fantasy, 5 passing touchdowns, pretty good. Pretty good. Just going to toss that out there. 9 for 81 as a runner. I mean, this was an enormous day. The passing touchdowns, 2 of them going to Crowder, 1 going to Terry McLaurin, and of course, revenge game, Alamide Zaccheaus, 5 for 70 and 2. No, I'm not picking up Alamide Zaccheaus. I'm not recommending that. Don't chase those points. We'll keep an eye on Hurts. That's all we can do. All right, Arizona, Carolina. I've been saying all along, I think Carolina is a 5-win team. Well, now they have 4 wins, and they just have to win one of their 2 remaining games, and we're looking at a 5-win team, a team that most people had as the absolute worst team in the NFL, a team that most people said had a bust number 1 overall pick at quarterback. They don't look like that anymore. And mind you, I don't think that the award goes to Dave Canales, but I think he really should be considered for Coach of the Year. You know, I think it's probably Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell's probably the favorite as of right now. Dan Quinn's got to be in that conversation too. You know, it probably would be worth me seeing. No, I don't think there are betting odds for it yet anyway. But anyway, he took this team that was awful and has made it into this. Like, they just beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals were playing for their playoff lives. You know, they had to essentially win to stay in it. They didn't win. Your Panthers team just knocked the team basically out of the playoffs, like, for the most part, in overtime. Like, awesome. And Bryce Young had 2 passing scores and a rushing score. Like, what? That is a hell of a job by Canales. They scored 36 points in this game. Like, really good. Chuba's rolling. He was one of the stories of the season. Bryce, obviously, now very super flex worthy, and the arrow continues to point up. All of it looking good there. To the other side, not looking good for Kyler Murray. I mean, he got outplayed by Bryce Young in this game. That's saying something. That is saying something. And I don't think they haven't figured this thing out. Now, James Conner, of course, makes it even more difficult. Leaves the game with a knee issue. We don't know if he's going to play this week. We don't know. Trey Benson, of course. Hey, step on. Well, guess what? He was out this past week. I mean, Benson is the ad. I don't think Michael Carter is. But Michael Carter did have 5 catches for 30 yards in this game, but did nothing on the ground. I don't know, man. It's Benson and that's it, but it's a mess there. They can't get Marvin Harrison going. They have Trey McBride, couldn't get him going in this game, 3 for 20, no touchdowns still, 92 on the season with no touchdowns. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, I move on. Speaking of Kevin O'Connell, how about the Minnesota Vikings? They are right now, this is wild. They are 13-2. They have a better record than the Eagles and same record as the Lions, and they're the 5 seed. Now, they could still win the division. You know, and looking at the schedule here, They get this week, Green Bay. Got to win that one, obviously. Then you could be playing for the division against Detroit in that final game, provided Detroit wins out as well. I mean, I guess they could both lose, which, whatever. I want that to be a... I want that to be like a division championship game. The Lions get San Francisco, which seems to be a winnable game on Monday night. That is the final game of the fantasy football season. And then they'll get Minnesota. Man, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. But Minnesota, Sam Darnold has had a hell of a season. He has created a lot of complications for them, a good problem to have. But honestly, like, to the crowd out there who thinks that Minnesota is going to trade J.J. McCarthy, I just don't see that happening. If they sign Sam Darnold to a big contract, guess what? They have J.J. McCarthy, who they can now develop over the next several years on a rookie deal. Now, granted, it's a first-round rookie deal, but still, it's a rookie deal. I find that to be a win-win, if anything. Darnold is rolling. Justin Jefferson, it's weird. He's never had a game like this, but this was his first career game with 10-plus receptions, 100-plus receiving yards, and 2-plus receiving touchdowns. He's never done that before. You know, you would think he's kind of done everything, but there are still more things for him to do. Geno Smith, crucial interception at the end of the game, getting picked off twice in this one. Now, he did throw 3 passing scores, which is un-Geno Smith-like of him this season, but the interception at the end of the game was brutal. Jaxon Smith-Njigba has passed DK Metcalf in the pecking order, like fully, officially write it in stone, and he is their best receiver right now. That is crazy how quickly it happened. I'm glad to see it. Now he topped 1,000 on the season, 8 for 95 and the score. Got to love what we've seen out of him this year. And it's not, you know, DK still scored. He's still the second target, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the dude right now. And we have not seen what he's fully capable of yet. All right, let's move to New England. Oh, and Kenneth Walker, by the way, ankle injury. So we may get Charbonnet again as the lead back this upcoming week. New England, Buffalo. I mean, New England has some fight, and they were winning this game for a good chunk of it. But Buffalo ultimately seals the deal. On the Buffalo side, the biggest story here was the Josh Allen weird throw. Like, he had what was called a right elbow contusion and got up. His hand was like numb the next passing attempt he threw. Like, even the cameraman didn't follow the ball because it was like, no way did he throw it there when he was targeting that guy, but he did. And he said afterwards that he lost feeling in the hand. It quickly returned. So it's something we're going to pay attention to. I don't think it's a big deal, but you know, this goes to show you the teams who had Josh Allen were absolutely steamrolling into the playoffs. And then you get a game like this, 154 passing yards, a touchdown, and really doesn't even do much with his legs. It's a cruel game. It's a really cruel game. You know, he had 6 for 30. So you made a teams got bumped because of that, you know, and it happens at the worst time in fantasy football. James Cook, 100 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown, 26 receiving yards, a receiving touchdown. He's got 16 scrimmage touchdowns on the season. Only one player ever had more for the Bills, and that was the juice himself, O.J. Simpson, in 1975. He had 23. I don't think Cook is going to catch him. He would need to have a pretty crazy stretch here of the final two games of the season. But the Bills, you know, they win again, and they're in a good spot. They're not in a great spot. They're not going to get a bye. Based on, you know, everything that went down over the weekend, the Chiefs are now 14-1. I mean, technically speaking, they didn't clinch the bye yet. But because if they lose out and Buffalo wins out, Buffalo would have the tiebreaker on them, but you know, it seems likely that the Bills are going to be the number two seed. You have 2 10-win teams in the Steelers and Ravens, and then there's nobody else with 10 wins. It's very different than in the NFC, where the Lions, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, and Commanders all are 10-win teams, and then the Rams are pretty close too at 9. Anyway, Buffalo moving forward, and hopefully Allen is okay. Nothing really doing on the other side. Let's just hope they get T. Higgins for Drake May, because he's really stinking good. He just needs a receiver. All right, Jacksonville and Vegas. The Raiders triumph here. Sorry, Raiders fans, but they played themselves out of not only the number one spot, but they put themselves all the way back with this win, technically speaking right now as the number six team in the draft. Yikes. What the hell? I guess things can still change over the final 2 weeks of the season here, but whatever. The two running backs performed well. They both scored as runners. They both caught a bunch. Like Abdullah had 5 for 47. Madison had 4 for 29. I mean, if you're hard up this week, and some teams may be, I would look at them in waivers. Brock Bowers, so he's 10 receiving yards shy of Mike Ditka's record. That's one of the most storied records out there. I mean, it's not one that non-football nerds talk about, but like, that's an early 1960s record, the rookie tight end receiving yards. Like, it was an insane mark, and Bowers is going to destroy it. Now, granted, he didn't play as, you know, he's playing more games, but still, I don't care. He is going to break Puka Nacua's rookie receptions record, 5 receptions shy of that. He's going to very likely break Darren Waller's Raiders single season record. That's 107 from 2020. What a season. He's the cream of the crop, elite wide receiver now. But we had a rookie on the other side who showed up big as well. Brian Thomas Jr., 9 for 132, that is, and 1 on the season. He now has over 1,000 yards. He has 1,088. He has 73 catches. Like, this dude is the real deal. He has 9 receiving touchdowns. We're looking at a potential, let's call it 80-plus catch, maybe 1,200 yards. Heck, he could have more than 1,200 yards with the way he's going here, back-to-back 100-yard games. But let's call it a 1,200-yard, 80-catch, 10-touchdown season. That is awesome out of a rookie wide receiver. So they have something doing there. Mac Jones is doing enough for him, and that's kind of it. Brenton Strange was not a good play, unfortunately. But he plays tight end, so I guess that's what we should expect. San Francisco and Miami. San Francisco is done. Over the last 21 years, you go back to like 2003, they have either made it to at least the conference championship game, some of them they made it to the Super Bowl, or not in the playoffs. Like, there's no in between. There's no, we got bumped wild card weekend. Like, that doesn't happen. It's one or the other. And this year, unfortunately, it's the other. After a Super Bowl appearance last year, they will not be in the playoffs. How crazy is that? Purdy was fine, 313 and 2. So if you started him, I don't think you're too upset about that. One goes to Debo, who finally shows up, 7 for 96. Too little, too late for a lot of folks out there. George Kittle has been amazing this year, 8 for 106. So good. Every week, except the snow game, every week, he's been awesome. Patrick Taylor is obviously the fifth string running back. Like, you know, the saying, like, you could put anybody back there and they'll put up a decent game. Nope. I think we found our line. It is between the fourth string and fifth string running back. And once we get to there, nope, you can't. I don't know if Garendo is going to play this week, but Taylor would still be a flex play. He played every snap. They did not use Izzy Abandikanda at all. And Keyshawn Vaughn only played special teams. So he'll be at least a flex. Moving to the other side, Devon Achane. Love that, you know, love scoring the touchdown at the end of the game. I love that move. You know, call it what you will, but I enjoyed that thoroughly. A 50-yard touchdown to finish things off. They weren't getting any of these big plays earlier in the year, so it was nice to see that. 17 for 120 and 1, 6 for 70. Their leading receiver. Jonnu Smith continued to roll, 6 for 62. He is such a good option here, and he fits so well in the offense. Unfortunately, I mean, Tyreek scored, but he didn't do anything, 3 for 29. Just was not a good season for him. And we have to wonder, was this just an off year, or was this a player who is reaching his expiration date? He is north of 30. I don't know. Tua did not complete over 70% of his passes for the first time in quite some time. How many games is that? It was 8 straight starts with 70%+ completion rate. So broke that streak right there. All right, let's round it out. Tampa and Dallas for all the marbles here. No, we did not get a massive game from Mike Evans. He goes 5 for 69. Nice. He now has 818 receiving yards. 1,000 is very doable. It's not easy. He can't go 69 back-to-back again, but it is very doable. He goes out, he has 100+. Like, ink it. Even if he, like, You watch, he'll get to like 1,004 or something like that. Like he did that very similarly a couple seasons ago. Anyway, Baker, 303-2. This dude plays so hard. You can tell why his team loves him. He plays so stinking hard. One of the touchdowns goes to Jalen McMillan, 4 in his last 3 games. He is still available in a lot of leagues. And then Bucky Irving is clearly the early down back. Rashad White, better passing down back, though he gave the ball away basically at the end there, or had it stolen from him. He goes 7 for 50 as a receiver, only 10 yards on the ground. Meanwhile, Bucky Irving, 16 for 68 on the ground with a score. Didn't do as much in the passing game, 3 for 24. But the weird thing is the splits in terms of participation are not as vast as you'd think. 41 snaps for Irving, 34 for Rashad White. So he only played 7 more snaps, but it's just like when he's on the field, he's getting the ball, and that isn't always the case with White. To the other side, CeeDee Lamb continues to do more than enough here with Cooper Rush under center, and I like Cooper Rush. He's a decent backup. Like, he's not amazing, but he definitely extended his timeline in the league with this game. CeeDee Lamb, 101 catches, 1,194 receiving yards. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns this season, but still another big year out of Lamb with 2 more games to go to pad those numbers. Rico Dowdle held in check, 13 for 23. So after 3 straight 100-yard performances, he comes back to the pack. He'll still be an RB2 option next week. Like, there's no competition from Ezekiel Elliott. All right, so just to fill you in on this week's schedule for me, I will be doing basically everything like normal with one exception. No audio from me on Wednesday, Christmas Day. So I'm not doing my SiriusXM show. I'm not doing the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. This show will be like normal. So you'll get tomorrow. I'll talk news, top 10 waivers, all that fun stuff. We'll talk some waiver strategy in this final week. Thursday, you'll get the regular news update. We'll talk about what we saw on Wednesday. We'll set you up for Thursday, all that. Friday game previews, shebang, shebang. Everything like normal. All the stuff at ftnfantasy.com is like normal this week. And that's how we do. We're going to push to the finish line. We're going to hoist those trophies, maybe make a little money in the process, you know? ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on X/Twitter. All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Round out week 16 in style. And I'll be back tomorrow. Catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.